Precious Lord, please grant us the grace to be wise as serpents, yet gentle as doves. Well, my dear heart dwellers, you haven't heard from me for a couple of days, and it was very safe for you to assume things were intense. And I wasn't able to get to a message. And that's correct. And the situation was brewing that was coming to a head, and we were waiting on answers from the Lord. But it seems like He allows these things because He wants me to share them with you so we can learn together. Because only one among us is a teacher, and that's the Lord. The rest of us are learners and followers. And people might look upon me as a leader, but really, I try to be a good follower. And because He's anointed me to be a follower, He uses me to lead. And that's how it works. So, dear heart dwellers, I want to speak to you about protecting yourselves from being used by the demons to cause trouble and how to protect yourself from serious demonic oppression. When you operate in the spirit, you swim with the sharks. It is so very important that you not take on any assignments that are not given you by Jesus and accompanied by Jesus, the real Jesus. And it's so very important for you to know that your motives are absolutely pure to please and to serve Him alone. If you don't know this, you can be used by the devils, manipulated, and used to even cause division and destruction, along with the good things that God gave you. So it sows a tremendous amount of confusion because you see good fruit and bad fruit. But in the end, the enemy is manipulating everything for his own reasons. We are all complex people with many layers of wounds that we've accumulated over the years, and behaviors that are constructed by us to prevent being hurt. They're defense mechanisms. This is why it's so vital to know yourself. If you know your weaknesses, your fears, you can watch out for that behavior that is trying to cover and protect, but is not godly, and in fact is destructive to yourself and to others. We have many, many layers, like an onion. And for most of us, our greatest fear is being useless and of no value. This is fostered by our contact with contamination from the world, going to school, competition, worldly values, rivalry among peers and family, and parents who are ignorant and they don't know any better, so they encourage it. So by our contact with contamination from the world and our needs to be valued, I have never seen anyone so downcast and hopeless as someone who feels they are a failure, unrecognized, and of no account. On the other hand, the happiest people on the outside are those who are at the top of their game, so to speak, people who feel useful and fulfilled. They are needed, wanted, and appreciated, recognized, and called upon. This builds a person up. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, not quite. The reason being is that when you come to serve the Lord, He must strip you of all your earthly significance. He must bring you down to an absolute state of nothingness and annihilation. It sounds horrible and it's no fun, but when you finally get to that place, it is extremely liberating and peaceful. No longer do you have to look your best, sound your best, or try to be the best. Rather, your focus is on the Lord and Him being the best. And you are loved by Him, and that's all you care to know. As long as we are double-minded, looking for men's approval and God's, we are unfit to carry the fine wine from the Master's table. Our worth is based on the blood of Jesus on Calvary. Therefore, every one of us is priceless, absolutely out of this world priceless. When we can settle in that place of significance, the fight with vanity, pride, one-upmanship, having to be right, having to know everything, having to be brilliant, having to shine and impress others with our abilities. When we find that place safe and alluring, quiet and peaceful, then we're ready to serve the Lord in whatever capacity, from cleaning toilets to making motion pictures. It matters not what we do. We have nothing to defend. We don't have to maintain our top-of-the-mountain position. We are down in the sweet valley garden with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we are hidden and happy to be hidden. The Lord really had to bring me to this place before he could use me publicly, and I'm so glad he did. And I had several breakings, several times seeing myself as a heap of dung, and it was so good. He never stopped loving me, and it was okay that I am a nobody. When you are in the other place, trying to make your mark, prove your prowess, show others what you can do, and how valuable you are, you open yourself to demonic infestations. Let's say you're not trying to shine on a conscious level. You just want to be your best for Jesus, or at least that's what you think. There may still be a healthy perspective lacking. You can say all the right things, pointing to Jesus and convincing others that you only do things out of obedience and love of God. It is almost impossible to discover ulterior motives in others or in yourself, but there are ways that reveal what is behind our real motives. Are we combative and resistant, judgmental of others in positions of authority, or who have a public profile? Are we easily entreated, or do our hackles raise when we're corrected in charity by those who may have been assigned to our souls? One really great way to find out is marriage. Oh boy, do we roll our eyes when our husbands tell us to do something we don't think is necessary? Guilty as charged. Or husbands, do you roll your eyes when your wife asks you not to do something in her kitchen? Satan can imitate humility, but obedience? No, he can't stand that, and neither can his minions. They are only obedient to that monster out of fear, not love. Are we raising frustrations in those around us by resisting their counsel? Are we finding fault with everyone and trying to fix them? Are we quick to talk in a group setting and show ourselves knowledgeable and clever? Or do we sit there quietly listening and enjoying others as they converse? Are we sowing doubt in people's minds about ministers that God has anointed and chosen to lead? Are we causing division by courting the favor of those close to the minister and sowing doubts and disagreements about their competency? You know, well, we need to pray because I've seen this about them and they're deceived, so let's pray for them. Are we dividing the body by stepping in and trying to lead and teach where we were not authorized to do so, and in the process cause confusion? I've done all these things. I have been and still can be very proud and arrogant and judgmental. I hate that about myself more than walking in dog do. At least that horrible smelling stuff can be washed off my shoes, but judgment and downgrading authority? The stench remains and reaches to heaven. And it has been told to me that even the great cloud of witnesses must cover their noses and turn their heads. It is so obnoxious to them. That doesn't come off in the shower. Rather, it circulates like a down pillow emptied from a second-story room on a windy day. Now go and collect those feathers. They'll never be found, not all of them. The truth is, these messengers of division leave little feathers carried around the body of a church, lodge in people's hearts along with whispering demons that undermine the integrity of the church and the staff. If we're continually trying to correct, instruct, and form another man's flock, we have a problem and have opened ourselves to demonic sifting. The soul who has not conquered their need to be more intelligent and better than others is a demon's dream host. Oh, what great destruction can be wrought with such as these. Yes, the enemy feeds them a diet of pride, and they are continually finding ways to gossip under the guise of praying and fixing with the best intentions for others. And so they plant seeds of destruction in the foundation while looking like they are truly serving and loving and sacrificing for others. In fact, fastings and sufferings are talked about in a way that make them more submitted to God than anyone around them. One thing I encountered as a Catholic sister was an evil spirit of asceticism, which is constantly aware of the extreme fasts and vigils, denying themselves food and sleep in order to be holy, but with the secret attitude that they're more holy than others who don't do these things. I was guilty of entertaining and being used by one of those spirits, and that attitude was generated by pride and judgment, not the desire to please or serve God, which was the motive I projected and even believed in about myself. When the enemy wants to do some damage, they look for those kinds of souls and assign demons of division to operate through them on a more subtle level than most can recognize. And that's why they get away with doing so much damage. The vessel they are operating through seems to be very superior and above the norm and of unquestionable integrity. But we know what is operating in them by their fruit, if it be Holy Spirit or an unholy spirit. Mostly they're very good people, being used to undermine and destroy in a way they do not even see. For me, it was the need to be recognized and valued by the church when I was younger that motivated me to be critical. And when I wasn't, something inside began growing, a root of bitterness and jealousy that went deep and formed my behavior patterns so I would be sure to be recognized in the future. So, how do you know if you're still operating in the flesh in this way? Are you sowing division? Do you talk against the leadership behind their back? Is the faction developing around you that sees your good points and the leader's failures? Are you gaining adherence by downgrading others? These are all signs of a soul that hasn't come to terms with their preciousness before God. And no matter how good their works seem to be, somehow the enemy is using them to sow confusion and division. They don't truly see on the deepest level that it's only the blood of Christ that paid their ransom and that they are priceless. If they saw that, they wouldn't still be trying to prove their worth to others. For me, it was too painful to see that others actually earned the right to be in a position as a teacher, and they were commissioned by God to teach because they'd been through sifting after sifting after sifting, until there was nothing left of them. And what was left of them they abhorred and were committed to getting rid of. We must lose all we thought we were, or we will continue to have an affinity for demons of ambition, superiority, criticism, and worst of all, lying spirits who will cleverly manipulate for their own nefarious ends. And they'll feed you lies about other people. They'll tell, oh, they're jealous of you. Oh, well, that person, you know. The demons will lie to you and cause you to question the motives of innocent people so that you think their motives are evil. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen for that. So, it's okay to judge an act if an act is evil, but not the person, because we don't know their motives. They don't know what causes them to do certain things. At this point, Jesus began speaking to me. He said, the question is, will such as these be willing to give up their relentless pursuit of superiority, overcoming everything in their way that has any authority? That is the question. The wounds of life go so very, very deep but they must break fellowship with this need to be better than others around them, or this will be an invitation to demons of deception and division to prosper in them while causing destruction around them. And I've seen these in my own behavior, guys, as spirits of rebellion and ambition. Jesus continued, "The question is great. Will they give up their quest for greatness and having to be right all the time and abandon all earthly glory? They will not break with these demons unless they're willing to be stripped a nothing and a nobody. This is extreme, but if they do not commit to this and stay with it, I can do nothing to prevent them from another infestation. They have got to be happy as a nobody and a nothing, or this inner drive for greatness will again be used, again and again be used by the enemy. This is an annihilation of self, and because of the nature of the real gifts I want to entrust to vessels, this foundation must be laid first. And I might add, protect it vehemently from worldly and spiritual ambition. At a very early age, these defensive behaviors can come on board if a child feels rejected or unfavorably compared to other siblings." And here I'd like to add, this is a classic example of competitive, overachieving parents who demand perfection in everything from good looks to high grades and athletic prowess. Nothing is ever good enough. There's always someone to be beaten, always someone to have victory over. These children are taught that in order to be loved, they have to excel way beyond others, look better, get higher grades, and beat their competition. Their parents are worldly, and this worldly ambition twists the child, taking from them their innocence and distorting the meaning of love. And here I'd like to add that these children grow up so wounded and twisted that they're constantly looking for ways to excel over everyone who receives high marks in their endeavors, whom they consider standing in the way of being loved. If they get a word, it has to be used by the pastor, or else they find another way to spread it among those believers. If they're not given a voice, they manipulate others until they are heard. The need to prove themselves contaminates most of the good they do. They are to be pitied and prayed for so their twisted hearts can be healed and the real person can be released from that prison of competition and one-upmanship. This is truly a new birth in Christ, where the child is untwisted and allowed to grow up discovering their real personality, not being the fierce competitor they were groomed to be. Jesus continued, "All of you, my children, must be little ones. If you want to be safe from deception, ambition, power, and authority, it is a plain fact. Unless you are happy to find the only meaning in your life in my presence, I cannot promote you. If you're still seeking the approval of your parents, whether you're 16 or 60, you will not hold the precious new wine. You must be totally happy to be a nobody, securely in my arms and no other. Any other motive will disqualify you and make you unfit as a vessel unto honor. There can only be one love in your lives. There can only be one meaning to your lives. There can only be one motive. Any other motive magnified by pride will open the door to these beasts that will scour the earth looking for potential victims they can use to destroy others. In your case, Claire, when it happens under your nose, it is the channel the enemy is after. You are safe as long as you keep your head down and cleave to me, showing charity even to your enemies. Not the demon enemies, but the victims of the demon enemies. Well, Lord, what about me when people say they hear two voices and one is not yours? As a couple of people recently remarked about a message. Jesus continued, "It is your own beloved coming across in your choice of words or mood and you are learning to let that diminish, that I may be the entire author of your messages, even down to the most subtle insinuations. There are times in every soul, no matter how pure, that their own intellect colors things. It's not a demon, it's just you and your manner of expression, and maybe a bit of an attitude at times. Oh yes, I do get attitudes. And here I want to take a moment and explain something to you, even though I know I've said it before. When I receive a message from the Lord, sometimes it is verbatim, as he picks the words to use. But more commonly, he infuses understanding, and it comes in concepts, and then he leaves it up to me which words to choose to communicate that thought. To clarify, the thought doesn't come to me in words, but in a very soft, quiet understanding, which I must then put into words that you'll all understand without any of my own opinions or attitudes attached to it. So some of you, if you're hearing two voices in my messages, that's what it is. The other thing it could be is a lying demon of distraction sent to cause you to question who is really giving the message. That doesn't sound like Jesus. And either it's because of a poor choice of words on my part, or a demon's whispering in your ear while you're trying to listen to the message. I can't tell you how many people have told me they get so distracted when they try to listen to my messages. Jesus continued, "But increasingly you catch it." That's, he's talking about my attitude, "and sense that something is not perfectly stated as I would have it, and you redo it to carry the meaning I intended without your slant. Some can distinguish the two, but assigning the enemy to it is grave error and stands the risk of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because it is by him that so many things you write are said. Beware if you think you stand and are qualified to judge my servants. Beware that you yourself do not fall into the pit of deception. If you're so concerned about purity, start at home. There is much yet you do not see about yourselves. I'm not defending Claire, I'm merely drawing your attention to your state before me and how I dislike your judgments against one another and those who are innocent. None of you are free from coloring my thoughts or even my scriptures. All of you have a certain opinion that causes you to intercept things the way you see it. May I remind you, those who harshly condemn the innocent, who are indeed sincere and for the most part faithful, not to twist the truth to their liking, if you are doing that, you are opening the door in your life for a major sifting. Touch not my anointed, lest you find yourself the subject of others' condemnations and judgments of you, especially when you're innocent. When you besmirch the character of my vessels, you invite Satan in to sift you. And depending on how seriously this is done, I give permission. So as it is written, do not judge, or you will be judged. For with the same judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That's Matthew 7:1. "That much said, a soul wishing to serve me must abandon themselves to me, or the door will be left open. Pray for this. Pray much for this. Remember, the degree of charity and love you show for others will be measured back to you in your time of need also. And I promise you, all my children, you will at some point have need. I hear what you say and what you think. Make them line up with one another, dear ones. Do not say one thing while thinking something entirely different and derogatory. And never, ever rejoice in the evil that has befallen a brother, as in a payback for their treatment of you. If I live in you and I could forgive the Pharisees, you can also forgive the misguided, the deceived, the Pharisees, the liars in your own lives, by by my grace, which is sufficient for you. That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. So continue in your prayers for those who are struggling in this area, Claire, and be well disposed in your heart, that I might rejoice in the reflection of my being in you by your authentic love for others, especially those who have harmed you. This is highly pleasing to me and a strong tower of protection for you. Some who do these things will eventually be delivered if they're truly sincere with me and willing to be stripped. But the healing must go way deeper than just one encounter. The future days in their lives will be challenged with the enemy wanting to regain ground, leading them and others around them into error. It is of utmost importance that you all totally renounce your self-interest in the spiritual gifts and lodge deeply in my heart where there is no admixture of ambition. Ambition, if it continues, will be your downfall. Yes, you may desire the gifts, even as it is written, but never more than purity of heart and purity of motive for me. These are the things I want you to lift up to me, beloved. Oh, how I love these vessels who truly want to be mine. They do want to serve me, but first must abandon all self-seeking. You know this way. You've been down it many times. Humble yourselves, my children, not with words, but in the depths of your hearts, in that quiet place before you entreat me with your prayers. Humble yourselves. The living waters flow past the rocky heights and come to rest in the valley. You, likewise, be the valley where my anointing collects. Be the well-watered garden of my delights. Those who lose their lives and forsake themselves will surely find it. Put a strong guard over your hearts, minds, and mouth, lest you continue to sin through judgment. I am touching your hearts now with this desire. Guard and nurture it. Allow it to advise you in all things, and never be a source of judgment and criticism of those who labor for your souls. For they have suffered many deaths and die daily for you. Rather manifest the new life of humility, gentleness, a teachable spirit, and one who is quick to listen and has no real desire to speak. Then by your meek and humble example, I will be able to entrust you with the greatest ministry gifts, and especially entrust you with my love. The soul who has not conquered their need to be more intelligent and better than others is a demon's dream host. And here I want to add that in weeks passing, we have been the victims of a spirit of division that entered through a person, I would like to say, was ignorant of what they were doing. A good person, very intelligent, clever, witty, and bright. This person reported amazing spiritual encounters and was leading others in our core group to follow their example and teachings. And there were some things I found very valid and I incorporated. But this was a new Christian who had not studied the scriptures and did not know what the Bible said, but the gifts they presented to us and their attitude, welcoming extreme suffering, was so remarkable we all began to believe in them. The Lord confirmed to me that some of what they were reporting was true, but while they ministered and influenced people, they were also undermining my messages, and that some things I said were not from God, and the counsels I gave about certain matters were not at all necessary, along with direct contradiction of the words of Jesus in the Bible. They were so bright and convincing that when I heard about it from behind my back, it caused me to question myself. But the Lord showed to me that they were in control of a lying spirit that was assigned to our channel with a strong man of division to bring me down and the whole channel down. I could not address what was taking place, even though I felt it keenly in my spirit, because it would have looked like I was jealous of others. The Lord told me to wait and be patient. Well, that's what I've been doing for several months, and one day the demon in this person began to manifest, and everyone saw it on our Skype date. Not by obvious means, but their eyes turned to black marbles when they were talking, and several people felt and saw the demon in them. Then it began to manifest verbally and had substantial control over this person's body and vocal cords with writhing movements and guttural sounds and the head going back and the eyes rolling and a stream of lies coming out of their mouths. They were being tormented by this controlling demon, a lying demon as well. Now, days have gone by and they've been to a deliverance minister, but the next day they manifested again. Unfortunately, they live too far away for us to get involved, in that way at least. Well, the end has not yet been determined, but they are reaching out for help. We will see if the underlying motives for their actions will be confessed or not, because the Lord did tell me there was guilt there. So we're praying for the best possible outcome, healing, restoration. But in the meantime, everyone who's been deceived by them understood they were deceived and repented. And several of them came to me and disclosed how they were speaking against me behind my back and undermining the guidance that Jesus was giving us. And this is how churches split apart, guys. This is how ministries fall. These are the tactics of the devils. A good person with a good gift resents authority and undermines the leadership, building their own following. And eventually, if those who are following are not mature Christians, they will leave and follow the other person. And a note to our enemies. I just couldn't resist this. This was a direct attack of the enemy, but here we're talking about it, and it's in the process of being exposed and resolved. Please pray for them. And for you poor Satanists who sent this curse and deception, thank you for more lessons on how your master works. But don't you know by now he's lying to you just like you lie to others? When you die, he'll have you grabbed by the scruff of the neck, dragged down into hell, and tormented while he laughs his head off at you. You knew I was a deceiver and you still fell for it. Don't you see, brothers and sisters, this is his method of operation. And while you're busy serving him all your lives, he's plotting how to torture you when you finally die. And he will amuse himself with your naivete while you cry out to him, "But I served you faithfully, Satan." And he will laugh, "Yes, yes, you did. But I deceived you. I used your own bitterness and hatred to hurt others. And now I'm going to enjoy hearing your screams for eternity." So you may take this message and redouble your attempts to bring us down, but God is our covering, and nothing you do will work as long as we obey him. He will protect us from you. So please, please wake up and repent. Don't waste your life on this criminal demon. Please wake up. God loves you and will forgive and heal you, even for the babies you sacrificed. He will forgive you. Please turn to him. Please. And for the rest of you sincere people that are really heart dwellers, I wanted to share that because I know that the enemy has his plants and he listens to the messages and then he figures out how he can form another attack against us. So I just felt like this is a captive audience. The enemy's going to listen to this message. And I can't help but feel badly for them because they're totally duped by the devil. But for the rest of you, dear heart dwellers, please watch your motives. Be careful that the enemy doesn't use you. And please pray for us as we resolve this issue and this problem. And I wanted to let you know that things are going much better for us right now financially and our needs are being met. And that's the result, really, of people who are faithful every month. That's what really makes a difference. And then we can run things very smoothly, and I appreciate it so very much. I'll give you all a big hug. God bless you.